Let's start Sefer Yoel. Let's jump right into it. We'll see Mufarshim give us the Hakdama. Okay, let's see. Divrei Dvar Hashem Ashehoya El Yoel Ben Pisuel. Who is this person, Yoel Ben Pisuel? When did he live? Who are his colleagues? What is his message? So let's jump right into the commentators, and we'll turn to the back. Try to put your finger on the back. Let's right away turn to page 915. 915 is a fantastic, fantastic, superb map. The price of the Sefer is worth it just for this chart on page 915. Okay, so it says here in the Mitzudos Tavit, Dvar Hashem, Ritzon Eloymar, Zehu Dvar Hashem. The following is the word of Hashem, Pisuel. Who is Pisuel? Amar Hazal, Zeh Shmuel Hanavi. Isn't that amazing? Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel was the first. Who is Shmuel? Shmuel is a very complex person. Is Shmuel a Shofet or is Shmuel a king? Or is Shmuel a Navi? How would you define Shmuel? We have Shoftim, and we have Melachim kings.
Let's go see the Roya.
So the Roya is a Navi. That's a word for a Navi. What was Shmuel? Shmuel, we would assume, was a Shofet. That's the assumption. Because he wasn't the Melech. He was the one who anointed. He was the one who anointed the kings. He anointed Shaul, and then he anointed David. So who exactly, but yet if Shmuel really is a Shofet, why isn't the story of Shmuel in Sefer Shoftim? Right? Sefer Shoftim appears to be... So we'll come to you all in a second, but it would appear that Shmuel, if he's not a king, so by default he's a Shofet. But if he was a Shofet, so he should be in Sefer Shoftim, and he's not in Sefer Shoftim. So how do we make sense of this? So the answer, obviously, Shmuel is somewhere in between. Shmuel mitzad echad is, you could almost say he's a melech. He had a din of a melech to some degree, but he wasn't a melech. But a Shofet, he was a Shofet, but he wasn't a Shofet. He's somewhere nishtahi nishtaher. And there's a principle of kol hamavarich misparich. What does that mean? A person give a bracha. When you give a bracha, there's a principle that the one who gives the bracha, he himself will be blessed. What does that mean? How does that work? So the first will explain is you can only give something which you yourself have. If you give a person a blessing, I give you a bracha of arichas yamin. Who am I to give arichas yamin? I don't have I'm not the balabas of arichas yamin. So Chazal said, if you give this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is very kind and very gracious, if you give a person a bracha of arichas yamin, you can only give if you have. So that means Hashem has no choice but to give you arichas yamin, so you in turn can dish out, can also give someone else arichas yamin. If you give a person a bracha, you should have ashirus. Who are you to give ashirus? You have ashirus to give. Well, if you have ashirus, then yeah, you're the Baal HaBas. So when a person gives a sincere bracha, Hashem gives you what you are blessing someone else with, so that you indeed can really, the bracha can indeed be fulfilled. Thus, if you take this idea further, if Shmuel is the one who is anointing kings, Shmuel is the kingmaker. He anoints Shaul. He anointed David. That means Shmuel has to be a king, because you can only give something which you yourself have. This is a rule in life. This is a rule. A rule. Of course, he can give a bracha. Don't even go there. Okay, let's not go there. If Shmuel is anointing kings, obviously he's not a Shofet. And that's why he's not in Sefer Shoftim. We don't put Shmuel, even though it would appear to an observer that Shmuel is a Shofet. He's making a circuit judge. He's running around the whole Eretz Yisrael and judging people and deciding their halachas. He's acting in the capacity of what? But he's not a melech, because he was never anointed. So I'm saying based upon this principle. This is a principle. I cannot quote you chapter and verse where I saw this principle, but it's something which is logical. I know I saw this somewhere. It's a logical idea You can only give something which you yourself possess. And that's the explanation of why we have this principle, Hamivarech Misparech. The one who gives bracha, he will be blessed with that very bracha. Why? Because if Hashem accepts your blessing, that so-and-so should indeed be blessed, and you're going to be the facilitator, you're going to be the conduit of that blessing, that by definition, that demands that you also have it. Because you cannot give to someone else something which you do not possess. So in turn, what is going to happen? Hashem will first bless you, and then, in turn, your blessing will be chal, it will be transferred, it will be shared. You get that from, I believe, from Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim, it says, V'ani avorechem. Kois v'orechu es b'nei Yisrael, omor lohem, v'chulu v'chulu. And then it says, V'somu eshini al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avorechem. There are many perushim, but most one popular perushim is, who's going to bless the Kohanim? If the Kohanim are giving v'locha bracha to Klal Yisrael, it's not fair. They bless the shoemaker's children, goes without shoes? How could it be? The answer is, Hashem says, don't worry. You bless Klal Yisrael, va'ani, I, Hashem, avorechem, will bless you, the Kohanim. You'll get my blessing directly. This is one parish, other parishim. Va'ani, avorechem, I will bless you, the Kohanim. Now go a step further. Why is that necessary? Because you cannot give. I think that's where the source is. Look at the first in that pasuk. You cannot give someone something which you yourself do not possess. So if you are giving bracha to Klal Yisrael, you have to possess it. So Hashem says, let me see how sincere you are in blessing Klal Yisrael. If indeed I see that your sincerity is there, v'ani avorechem, I will bless you, the Kohanim. You will have these blessings yourself. And thus, retroactively, or mikan ulahabo, however you want to look at it, thus, the blessings that you give to Klal Yisrael will indeed be chal, will indeed fall upon, will indeed be fulfilled, because you're giving to others what you yourself possess. I told you, I don't know. This is not my chiddush. Where did I see that? I saw this recently. I'm trying to think now, where did I see this? Fortunately, I don't remember. But it's very logical. Okay, it's very logical.
It's easier to say the old way, you know, that Hashem will be giving the
bracha. Look at that. This pshat in the pasuk, that's very obvious. That's look at the mefarshim on the page. Right. Most of the mefarshim actually learn that pshat in the pasuk. They learn vani the kohanim bless Klal Yisrael vani av v'samu, you put my name al b'nei Yisrael vani I Hashem avorechem will bless the kohanim.
You according to that pshat that you said.
Kosevarchu, they have a mitzvah, they have an obligation, they have a choice. It's a mitzvah.
Who's not interested in money, he has no desires, he has no ambition.
The Torah says, the Torah says you have no choice. The Torah says, Kosevarchu.
If you don't have a choice, then it has nothing to do with your qualification.
No. You have no. The Torah says you have to. You have no choice. You have no choice.
Somebody needs a bracha than children, and two tzaddikim and two gadol, and both of them, as far as you know, the same level. One has children, one doesn't. Who's it better to go to?
First of all, in Chazal's eyes, more often than not, children does not only mean physical, biological children. It means it means talmidim, students. It means your accomplishments, your the peiros that you have brought forth in this world. Banim has in the world of bracha and blessing, banim does not only mean biological children. Banim means a legacy. It means a talmidim. So it's all the same. When you give a bracha, it's
so maybe. It's better to go to the
No, you don't. No. You don't go there. That's not something that you don't go there.
If you want children, you go to the Rebbe who does not children, because that's the
Shirayim. What? No. This look. You don't. These are matters. You don't go there.
You don't go to a gvir to get money to get less for money because he doesn't have any Shirayim.
It's very, very sad. Some of the biggest Gedolei Yisrael did not have children. The Lubavitch Rebbe did not have children. The Chaznish did not have children. The Sadr Rebbe did not have children. It's
some
very.
I had a daughter.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He did not leave. I'm sorry. In Europe, they
he had no grandchildren.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. Okay, this is something you don't go. We don't go there. We stay away from this. A tzaddik is a tzaddik. What it means, we don't know what it means, but there's no question. You go to a bracha for a tzaddik, and that's the end. There's nothing to discuss.
Forget. Get back to Shmuel.
Yeah.
Why Shmuel? Why Jerio?
Shmuel is clearly a transitional figure.
Exactly.
Someone who bridges the gap between
the shoftim
and the era of the malachim.
Not only that,
and there is a leadership vacuum at that time, which apparently he's the only one qualified to fill in those functions. And you don't have to
Fine, but it's very interesting that he's not part. This is a very good question, very tough question. Why is Shmuel, the story of Shmuel, not included in Sefer Shoftim? Sefer Shoftim, we study Shmuel, what he did, for Klal Yisrael. He is the textbook Shoftim. That's what he is. He's a Shoftim. He is the leader. He is judging the people. He is, in fact, the ideal Shoftim. And yet, he is not included in Sefer Shoftim. That's a very difficult question. Next question, another question. Based upon this principle of if some are here are objecting, I see I'm getting resistance, Baruch Hashem. That means you're listening, Baruch Hashem.
I just wanted to say on what he was saying.
Yeah.
It says Shmuel was Shokel Keneged Moshe Ba'aron.
Correct.
The last of every generation, in general, has been the greatest of the generation. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the greatest of the Tanoim. They say, supposedly, the Beis Yosef was the last, really, of the Rishonim. He was the greatest of... So you could say, in a way, Shmuel was the last of the Nevi'im.
Of the...
Nevi'im.
Shoftim.
Nevi'im and Shoftim. He was a combination
And
therefore, he was Shoftim connected Moshe Aaron because he was... He bridged, like you said, the gap.
Right. But we're not going to know, because the Navi is a term which spans the Shoftim and the... And the kings. Because the kings were clearly Nevi'im. David and Shlomo were not Nevi'im. Of course they were Nevi'im. And the Shoftim, many of the Shoftim, not necessarily all of them.
But it was already a new era.
Right. Exactly. Right. It's a new era. So the word, when we talk about Navi, there's no doubt Shmuel is a Navi. But but Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel is both in Sifrei Nevi'im. So we're not discussing the element, the concept of a Navi. The Nevi'im spans Shoftim and Malachim. Question, what is Shmuel? Is Shmuel a Shoftim? Is Shmuel a Melech? Shoftim, if he, like I said, he's the textbook Shoftim.
He's got the title, that's for sure.
But he's not in the Sefer Shoftim. That speaks volumes. Mitzad Sheni, this principle is correct, that you can't give something you yourself do not possess. So Shmuel is the one that made, anointed Shaul and David. Isn't that interesting? It's not, but he was not a melech. How could you make someone a melech when you yourself are not a melech? So obviously, no, there is some element in Shmuel that Shmuel was a melech.
Wait a minute, Moshe made Aaron a
kohen. Moshe vayhi b'shurin melech. Moshe had a din of a melech. That Chazal say many places. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din, a status of a melech.
He made Aaron a Kohen, not a Melech.
He made Aaron, so that's Aaron. So he didn't make. He made Yoshua. He gave Yoshua to be his successor.
You're saying, but if he wasn't a Kohen, if you're saying you have to be that in order to make some of that, how could he make Aaron a Kohen if he wasn't a Kohen?
Of he himself was not a Kohen. Okay, that's a good question.
It's all from Hashem.
That's you're making. It's a very valid point. Okay, it's the same question, really. How could Shmuel make Shmuel a Shaul a Melech when he's, which would make him believe he's a Melech. The questions are better than the answers. I just want to bring out this point: is that Shmuel is a category to himself. He's a he's a transitional figure. He's the greatest. He combines all of the milas of all of the Shoftim together. He is the beginning of the Melachim. Shmuel, just we should appreciate, Shmuel is in a category by himself. Here we are introduced in Sefer Yoel to Shmuel Hanavi. Yoel, Divar Hashem Ashohoye El Yoel Ben Pisuel. Who is Pisuel? Mitzudos David, the first thing we learn, Chazal tell us Shmuel is Shmuel Hanavi. Shepita, why is the, what is the word Pisuel? Pisuel comes the word Pitui, to what's a good word for Pitui? To pray,
entice.
It's a form of prayer, which has its own connotation. It doesn't just mean prayer. There are many different words for prayer. I don't even know if this was one of the words for prayer, but the way Mitzudos David tells him Chazal, Shepita Lokel Bitfiloso, he dive into Hashem.
Like Mefata?
Mefata. So Mefata means to seduce. To seduce. But that's a very bad connotation. The word seduce.
No, but seduce could be good. Here, of course,
okay.
It's good.
Pitui. Pitui
like
is to.
With words.
Persuade. You persuade.
Oh, yes, right.
You persuade with words.
Yes.
Shmuel was Mefata, the Ribbono Shelom, bitfiloso, through the koich of tfilos. So this is a very fascinating thing because the name captures the identity of a person. The Mahus, the Es, we always see it as a very popular idea. A person's name captures who he is. The Gedolei Yisrael said that a person has nevuah. Everyone has Ruach HaKodesh in their life when they have a child. What will you name your child? Like a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts in your mind a machshava. What to give, what the child's name should be, because the name of the child will capture his essence. How could a parent possibly know the essence, the nature of their child? The child's 1 day old, 8 days old. 8 days old, it's impossible. How could it possibly be? It's a hashkocha protest, a special inspiration, divine inspiration. There are so many stories where people, they change the name the very, very last second. When they're pregnant, they're planning and planning. If it's a boy, it's going to be this, after your father, or after my father, or after the Zayden. And probably more often than not, a day before the bris milah, all of a sudden, something happens, there's a discussion, and that's it. It's sometimes even the morning of the bris milah. Go take a poll. You can take a poll of parents of when they decided the name of the child. You'll be shocked to discover that a very high percentage of names given to children were decided within the last minute, the last day, even sometimes the morning of the bris milah. What's going on? You're planning for the bris milah. You know, a woman is pregnant, 8-9 months, he was thinking way ahead. I mean, of course, the most basic thing, it's a special siyata d'shmaya to understand what is the nature of the malchus, of the neshama of this child, and the name captures that essence. A person who cannot possibly know what that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person Ruach HaKodesh to decide on the name. If Chazal here are telling us that Shmuel is, name is Pisuel, which means Shekita Kel Bitfiloso, that is quite a statement. That is coming to define the nature of Shmuel. Why is that so? It's not a surprise to us, because Shmuel was a product of Tfilah. Who is Shmuel's mother? Chana. Chan had no children. Chana was the one who taught us how to daven the Shmona Esrei. Elkanah tried to make her happy. Penina, her tsar, her co-wife, caused her tsar. They went early regal, and she had many. Penina had many children. Chana had no children. And Shmuel said, "What are you so upset? You're better to me more than what did I say? Seven children than ten, whatever. Than many children." And what, don't be upset, but she persisted, and she went to the Beis HaMikdash, she went to Eli HaKohen, and she davened, and Eli thought that she was a shikoira, and he told her, Eli, making a mistake, the tumim, and it's so fascinating, that Eli HaKohen, he went through the effort to use the Urim, the tumim, to understand the nature of this woman. Since when do you go to the Urim, the tumim? You wonder what the weather is going to be today, right? You wake up in the morning, Kohen Gadol, should I take the umbrella or not? All right, you know what? Let me go check with the Urim V'Tumim. What? Urim V'Tumim is Kodesh Kodashim. Urim V'Tumim, you have to probably fast months in advance before you can go on. You can be shoyel from the holy Urim V'Tumim. And here a woman comes. Probably a million people came every day. Every collectors and who knows what. They're showing the Beis HaMikdash. And there's a woman here. She's davening. Eli HaKohen is Mishoya from the Urim, the Tumim, to understand the nature of this person? What is going on? A collector comes to shul, you're going to be Mishoya. What does this person want? It's not to be understood why he was Mishoya from the Urim, the Tumim. And the Urim, the Tumim lights up and spells out letters which can be has to be deciphered. And he decides that the letter Shikoira, she's a drunkard. She's intoxicated. So he gives her Musa. What are you drinking?
He says Kshayra.
And then she says, you're making a mistake. It's not Shikoira. You don't know Kohen Gadol. Yeah. It's Kshayra or Kisara.
Yeah.
So, isn't that all? She's giving you Musa. She's giving you Musa. And she expresses her tsar before the Ribbono Shel Olam. And indeed, he blesses her. He gives her the ultimate bracha, and she has a child. Shmuel is a product of tefillah. Right. And later, when Shmuel Hanavi, it's a beautiful from Ruchel Rebovitz, I believe it's from, where later in life, Shmuel made a fatal mistake. He was Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabba. He paskin that Shchita Keshera Bizar. Shchita Kesher Bizar. So Shmuel said, so Eli HaKohen said to Shmuel, you paskin correctly. But your Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabba, your Chayav Nisa. You're going to die. So he calls up, takes out his cell phone, calls up his mother, Ma, we got a problem here. I was Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabba, I'm going to die. Let me say goodbye to you. Chana gets on the next plane, comes to Shmuel and says, remember me? I came to put out my heart, and you're telling me now my child's going to die? So Shmuel says, you know, we got a problem. We got a problem here. So you know what? I can't do anything about him. He has to die. I gave you a bracha. Don't worry. You'll have another child. Go back home. You'll have another child. So she says to him, I don't want another child. El hanar hazeh hispalalti. What does it mean, hanar hazeh hispalalti? So the Ruchel Rebovitz says, if I go back home now and have another child, it'll just be like everyone else. Natural. It's a natural thing in this world. People have children. They get pregnant. They have children. They don't think very much. This person, Shmuel, is not just Stam, a child. It is a product of Tefillah. I poured out my heart in order to be Zoicha to this child. There's no replacement for him. He's going to die. I'll have another child. The other child is a nothing connected Shmuel. Because Shmuel is a product of Tefillah. A product of Tefillah is in a league by itself. And Shmuel says, you're right. You're right. And he annulled the curse, whatever it was, and he lived. What do you learn from this? The whole essence of Shmuel is a person, a product of Tefillah, and therefore it's no shock to us why his other name was Pisuel, a person who knows, has the talent, has the koyach to be mefate the Ribbono Shel Olam and the koyach of Tefillah. He has the koyach of Tefillah because he is a product of Tefillah. That's the very Musa Hasba person. You pray for children. You pray for something. If Stam, you know, you get lucky. You get a job. You get a shidduch. You got children. You know, you got lucky. So whatever you have. But if you don't have it, doesn't come easy. And Hashem is taiveya from you to be mispala, and then Hashem gives you a bracha through your koyach tefillah. You know what you have in your possession? You have something that is a product of tefillah, and a product of tefillah is nitzchi, will never go away. And this is Shmuel. That's the whole koyach of Shmuel. And now we are introduced to his son, and the son was Yoel. He named him after the Sadmer Ofer. he named Shmuel, named his son Yoel. That was the name. Now, this creates a new problem, which we're going to see.
A lot of problems.
What?
His sons were not so righteous. The whole problem was Shmuel.
Excellent. It says, Beferish in the Pasuk. Leholchu b'drachem. That was Shmuel's tzar. That was Shmuel, a lot of tzar, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu had a very great disappointment that his children would not succeed him. He really wanted Elazar and Gershon to succeed his role in leadership. And Hashem said, I'm sorry, it's not going to go to them, it's going to go to Yehoshua. Shmuel suffered from the same tzar. Shmuel wanted very much his children should succeed him. But Hashem said, and here we learn about Yoel. And so this is a missing piece of information which all of the Mefarshim on this page are going to elaborate upon, that Shmuel was mispalu for his children, and indeed they did teshuvah, and they went in, and they were choizer b'shuvah. Whatever their sins were, okay, I'm not even sure if Chazal even tell us what the problems were, but whatever they were was reconciled. Not only was it reconciled, one of his children was zoiche to be from the 48 Nevi'im. Yoel, we have an entire sefer. Why? Again, this koyach, Shmuel was mispalo that his children should do teshuva.
And he also died in tremendous amount of fear. He was very young.
What, from Shmuel? Who are descendants of Shmuel?
Yeah.
Okay, in a Hanami. But indeed, we see here an incredible insight that even though it says in Torah Lo'holchu B'drachav, it's never too late. A person can always do tshuva. And look, the proof here is Yoel. Yoel was a product of tshuva. He was about tshuva. Interesting. How many of the Nevi'im, I never thought about this, just how many of the Nevi'im are Bali Tshuva?
There's one Navi that was a ger.
Who is the ger? Ovadia. Okay, you have a ger. Very good.
We're not sure.
No, but how many were Bali Tshuva? How many? Today we live in a generation of the Bali Tshuva movement. How many of the Nevi'im were Bali Tshuva? I don't know. Was Hashem Bali Tshuva? Uchara not. Hashem was a Kanoi from the very beginning. He told Hashem in the very... Hoshea.
Hoshea.
Moshe? No. I mean in the sense where everyone is about tshuva. You know the story of someone comes to Eretz Yisrael to be gadol, and he says, and he's learning Ar Sameach. Okay, Ar Sameach is where all the is the yeshiva Bali Tshuva, and he's sitting and learning the Bahasmada and the Rashiva, maybe it was Rav Noach Weinreb. He comes over to him and says, Weinberg comes over to him and says, who are you? So, oh, I'm just learning here. I'm not about tshuva. So he says to him, why not? Why not? Why aren't you about tshuva? He says, I'm an FFB from birth. I'm just, you know, I'm in the neighborhood, so I came here to sit and learn the yeshiva. Ar Sameach, everyone in Ar Sameach, they're all Balei Tshuva. They were all, many of them were not...
talking about
Neis HaTayr. I'm sorry, no, Ar Sameach also.
Yes, but Rav Noach Weinberg was in Neis
HaTayr. So who's Ar Sameach? I'm confused then. Okay. Whatever, it's all the same to the name, just KF1, musical chairs. So why? They're not Shabbat Torah Mitzvahs. No, I'm Shabbat Torah Mitzvahs. I'm not about tshuva. Why not? So everyone is about tshuva. What I mean is, Meir, is to the degree where the Torah says about them, lo yeholchu b'drachav. It doesn't say about Moshe anyway that Moshe was told lo yeholchu b'drachav. He made mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone. So Moshe made a couple of mistakes. Okay, big deal, he made mistakes. But it doesn't say in the Torah, Le'olchu b'drachav, that Moshe Rabbeinu was a chayte. It doesn't say such stark words.
The only one you could say wasn't about tshuva from then was Yishayim b'Yamim.
Four people, the Le'chatu, they died from the Torah. So, but Moshe Rabbeinu was, we don't mean on that level. Here it says about Shmuel's children, Le'olchu b'drachav. That's a very powerful statement. And now, look what happens. And now we have a whole Sefer Yoel who's telling us very powerful Yisoidus Yadus. So it's very, in amongst the 48 Nevi'im, we have a Ger, we have a Baal Tshuva, we have a Kanoi. Hoshea was the biggest Kanoi. Okay, we have Eliyahu Navi was even bigger than Hoshea. Chazal said Hoshea was even worse. Chazal said, we learned many, many times, Hoshea was the worst. The things that he said about Klal Yisrael was even sharper than Eliyahu HaNavi. So we have all different types of Nevi'im. Okay, but okay, so you want to say he was the kind of, all right, but the harshest. Every Navi has a unique dimension, a unique element, which we, today's day and age, can relate to. We live in a society with all different types of people. It's very colorful out there. All different types of approaches to Yadus. And Yoel, it's very fascinating, this point he's making, is about tshuva. He's about tshuva. So the Balei Tshuva have someone who they can very much relate to. No one should say, Torah is not for me. Torah, the Nevi'im, it encompasses every single approach, every single situation. Hafoichba, hafoichba, dekula ba. Let's go further. So this is who he is. Shapita Lekel B'Tvilosa. Now let's go to Rashi. A lot of Rashi exactly who he is. We're going to go look at the charts in a few moments. Okay, so first we have Rashi El Yoel Ben Pisuel Ben Shmuel Hanavi. He is the son of Shmuel Hanavi. Shapita Lekel B'Tvilosa. Period. Yesh, I'm some station. Nevuah Zo Nemra Be'Oisa. Now when exactly was this Nevuah said? Be'Oisa Shev Hashanim She'omar Elisha Kikora Hashem Loraav. So this, even though this means it took place a little bit later, much later. Okay, the time of Elisha,
lived
a very long life. Because Shmuel's child was obviously the beginning of the Malchus, of Shaul. And then comes David.
It's a different opinion.
What?
It's not that Shmuel lived for so long. It's
why not? Why do we have to say that?
It's a separate opinion that he lived at a later time. One takes the name of Shmuel's son.
Right.
This name, that this person is identified as the son of Shmuel. And the other opinion looks at the context of what happened here.
But why matches it
to an event that is known from elsewhere.
I understand that, but why do we have to say that the two don't complement one another?
How long are we talking about?
I don't know. We have to figure it out, but it's a long time. It's a very long time.
Well, yeah, but I never draw for those opinions. Where,
look, this week's parsha.
For those opinions, or persons live forever.
You're right. It's very difficult. You're right. But look, this week's parsha is a Gemara. Finish a Gemara. Who is Bilam? What does the Gemara say?
Lavan.
It's a Gemara. It's a Sanhedrin. How far apart do they live? 300 years apart. How could it be 300 years apart?
It's hard to be understood.
So,
and
okay.
And you don't have to take it literally either.
Right. You don't. I am part of the Torah. Absolutely. Whatever it means. But it does not necessarily, the two different ideas do not necessarily conflict. Maybe you're right. Maybe he's trying to say, it's not. It's a person. And we're going to understand who this person is based upon his words. The famous thing about Yoel is the grasshoppers, the locust. The Gozam, the four different types of locusts, which is the Armauchios, Yavin Yosefer. So we're dealing over here in a time when, of a famine. We're dealing with a time of famine. So let's study history. Let's study Jewish history. When was there a famine? The greatest famine we have during the Tkuf of the Nevi'im was during the time of Elisha. So therefore, based upon that, it's very simple to say that this Nevi'im was said during that time period. Does that conflict with it being the son of Shmuel? Maybe yes, maybe not. It's a bit of a stretch. I didn't do the math, but it seems like it's a pretty long time. Okay, so it's not very likely that it is from our understanding. Hey, but hey, you never know. You never know, right? They had a secret.
And what are the odds of that? So I'm just saying. I usually prefer the rational.
Okay, fine. I agree with you. Okay, enough of that. Okay, but let's see what is over here. So some say Shalivuzo Shanemra Boys and Sheva Shamil 7 years, Shamay Lisha, Kikara Hashem, Lora of Hashem has called for a famine. We may Yehoiram ben Achavayu. So we'll do the myth in one moment. Okay, Uva Halochas Gedolus Nimsa. Another interpretation. The Halochas Yoel Vinachum Vachavakuk Hoya Bimei Menashe, which is way, way later. That's going down almost 400 years from the time of Shmuel. So that's way of a stretch. Now let's take a little bit of context to turn to page 915. On 915, you see Yoel. Okay, now he's presenting over here, there's a number, because Yoel, the number 8, it's not necessarily in the correct location, if you see, because he puts Yoel in two places. You see what he does over here in the page 915? He gets on page 915. He has two Yoels. Okay? Doesn't mean there are two Yoels. Over here he's showing you this. How many years apart is he? So this Yoel, and the one on the bottom, the lower one you see, was the same time as Menashe.
Yeah, that's 200.
Okay, that's Menashe. And Menashe was already after the end of the Aseres HaShvatim, already after the goals of Aseres HaShvatim, only the Aseres HaShvatim. And he's
neither of them are close to Shmuel.
Oh, how many years? Within 400 years, right?
Well, Shmuel within the time of Shaul, that's 28 AD.
Right. So we're going back even before Yeravam. Before Yeravam, we're going back way. David was king for 40 years. Shaul, how is king for how many years is Shaul king for? For 50? For how many years is Shaul king for?
2 years.
Shlomo.
Shlomo was 40.
40 years. And David was 40. And Shaul was 2. So we're going back 82 years before this chart even starts.
Right.
And then take over here, what is it over? Almost 300 years on this chart? So we're dealing close to 400 years. So therefore, it's very unlikely from our understanding that a human can live so long no matter what. But there's a Chazal that says he lived in the time of Menashe, the king Menashe, and he overlapped with the Nevi'im that we're going to learn Yirat Hashem later on in the Sefer of Nachum and Chavakuk. On the other hand, we have a tradition that Yoel lived at the same time as Elisha. When was Elisha? Elisha was during the time of Yehoram, 3050. The year 3050, Yehoram, who was the king of Yehuda, and the king of the Malchi Yisrael was Yehoram. I'm sorry, two Yehorams. So Yehoram, Malchi Yisrael, Malchi Yehuda, Yehoram ben Achav. So this is an entirely different kufa.
And what is that tradition based on? It's based on an event that's being matched up.
Famine. This was the big famine in the history of the Jewish people. And since his first Nevuah, his first issue deals with the famine, it's likely that he spoke during that period of time. So from the context of the Psukim, we assume it was during this period of time. And then from later Psukim that we're going to come up later in the Sefer, we're going to see that there's something doing between the Nevuah of Yoel that fits into the time period of Menashe and Nachum and Chavakuk. On the other hand, the name says it all. His name is Yoel ben Pesuel, and Pesuel Shapita Esakel Bitfilosa, which is Shmuel. So we have over here, obviously, a difference of opinion, three approaches. Who is this mysterious man? Who is this person? It's so interesting. We have a hard time defining some of the most greatest people in the history of Klal Yisrael. It's just so bizarre. We don't even know when they lived. As soon as Tisha B'Av, the Kinois. Who wrote the Kinois? Most of the Kinois. Rabbi Elazar HaKalia. He is the biggest mystery man of them all. When did he live? Where did he live? Who was he? What? Eoy. Exactly. Excellent. He was even a bigger mystery man. When some say he didn't even exist. He was just a marshal. Who is Eoy? Is he the composite of all of the people who suffered throughout the entire history of the world? Some say that, but Rashi always tells us he comes to the Meraglim, he died. Rashi says, as a matter of fact, Eoy died in the time of Moshe. And they were busy being maspid Eoiv, and that's what it means. They no longer have the zuchus of a person to two in his merit. So obviously, Elu v'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim, there are many approaches, and it goes so far in even identifying who is the person and when, what time period did they live? Was there more than one of them? No, Lahavdal Elif Alfei Avdolus, even a billion times over. Okay?
We're not going into Yeshaya.
Okay, yeah, talk about Oysa Ho'ish, Yeshu, it's also big, big mystery. Ad Kedei Kach, that it's Chazal clearly say there were at least two of them, at least, and maybe even more. So it's very interesting when we study history to identify the person and the time.
Okay, but it tells you, I think, that the message is more important than the person.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is the Rashi. Rashi presents three different interpretations of who the person was. The Mitzvah only wanted to go with one idea. Let's go to the Radak. Radak, page 213, Devarash Mashal Yol Yol Ben Pesuel. Zeh Hanavi Nisnabe Techila Al Ha'arbe. That's going to be the first topic, the locust. The locust, the big topic is the difference between the locust in the time of the Mitzrayim, and the Makos, that one of the Makos is Arbe, and the locust in the time of Yoel. And the problem is, we're going to get to all this, is that by the locust, it says, lo hoya kamohu, velo, and it will never be. Rashi there says, it will never be in Egypt such locust again. So Rashi answers the question, but what do you mean? The everyone knows Sefer Yoel. So Rashi there says, Yoel, there were four types. It was a different category. From one alone, from one min, one type of locust that it should destroy a whole country, that never was and will never be again. The nature of the Arba in the time of Yoel is different. So that's his first Nevuah. And the second Navi is Yimos HaMashiach. That fits very well with what we're going to talk about Menashe. I'm talking about Menashe. The Yeshom, some say, Ki Bimei Yehoira Menach of the third parish. Okay, the third parish of Rashi is going in a different order. Nibei Zeh HaNavi Sheyeh Rab Aretz. The middle, in between the time, in between the Rab Aretz, Kemosha Amar. Ki Kara, now I told you, Ki Kara Hashem Lorosh. I made a mistake. I told you that the locust took place during the time of Yehoiram. That's not necessarily true. Rashi, the Mitzradak is telling us that the time of the locust, the Arbe, is not necessarily the same time as the Ra'av. It could be different times. Let's see. That's what he seems to say. Bimei Yehoiram and Yachav, Bimei, he learns that the locust is not during the time of Yehoiram. She Yerub Aretz, Kemosh Amar, Ki Kara Hashem L'Ra'av, V'gam Bo El Aretz Sheva Hashanim. It would be a famine for 7 years. He's breaking it down. The 4 years of those 7 years was, okay, we're going back, Mine Arbe, was the Arba, Mine Arbe, the four different types of locust. The Ashaloi Shanim, the next 3 years was Atsiras Geshamim. Hoyu HaGeshamim, the Atsam was withheld, it was said, therefore that's the 7 years. Very important, you saw it. The 7 years of famine that we're going to learn about very, very soon. It was broken into two parts, 4 and 3, 4 years of Arbe and 3 years of Atsiras Geshamim. Each year was a different min Arbe, and then 3 years of rain. And this took place during the time of Yehoiram. Yehoiram, the son of Achav, who was a Rasha, and they called fine. Next, Uvesedu Oilam Omar Kibime Menashe Nibe. Now he's telling us that this is going back to, okay, we made Menashe, Omar Yoel. Chazal say, Yoel, Nachum, Chavakuk, Nisnabu, Bimei Menashe, all three said Nevua during this time period, Vulufish, Lohoy, Menashe, Kosher, Loy, Niku, Al Shemo, and because Menashe was a Rasha, that's why we did not want to mention his name. It would be appropriate to say during which king that this prophet lived during the era of a specific king, but because Menashe was such an evil person, he continued in the ways of Menashe was such an evil person. He uprooted Yadus from Klal Yisrael. Therefore, we did not mention his name, and we just mentioned that Nachum, Chavakuk, and Yoel lived in the same time. So, pretty much what the Radak says parallels Rashi. He has elaborated and given us much more information to understand the three different versions of when. He does not mention the shita that he was Shmuel. The Radak leaves that out. Does not mention that he's Shmuel. He only focuses on the fact that he lived during the time of Menashe and what his prophecies were about, the Arbe, Yimos HaMashiach, and when he lived during the time period. Let's go to the Malbum. The Malbum, Dvar Hashem Asher Hayah El Yoel. The Malbum says, B'shnei Simonim HaRishonim. And this is an interesting idea. The word simonim is a perek. The Malbim's vocabulary, the perakim he used, the Malbim was relatively modern, recent. And the way he's using the secular, the Christian chapter breaks, and he calls a chapter break a simon. Okay, b'shnei simonim harishonim yinabei al harbeh, shebob bayomim ohem v'hecheriv esaris and destroy the land. Period. Let's see the Mincha Gedolah.
Like the way a halacha sefer uses the term.
Correct, like Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, it's divided into a simin and a sif ka'atan, a small branch. And very good, it's very good. So he learns a Navi, his vocabulary, we say a perek, a kapitel, different chapters. So his terminology is to refer to a chapter as a simon. Let's look at the Mincha Gedolah. The Mincha Gedolah says, I'm sorry, oh yeah, the Mincha Gedolah. Okay, we know the Mincha Gedolah, we don't know, we have been missing the Mincha Gedolah in the whole, there was no Mincha Gedolah in Sefer HaShayah. Was there? Maybe there was. I don't think we had the Mincha Gedolah. In the whole Sefer, no, there was. I see there was, okay, but it was very little. So here he goes to Amru Azal, Shahaya Ben, who is this person? Shahaya Ben Shmuel. Now, Vyaf Al Gav, he over here, he addressed the issue, that's why I want to know if it's very clear, because over here, someone here asked the question. Vyaf Al Gav, even though the Chsivit says V'lo Yeholchu Vana Bidrachav, how could it be that Yoel is a Navi? Atke Dekach, we have a sefer in his name when the pasuk says that he was an evil person. V'lo Yeholchu Bidrachav, not going in the ways of Hashem. So Kvar Amru Zal B'Masechta Shabbos Ha'Oimer B'nei Shmuel Chatu, part of the long list of people. Anyone who says that David sinned, anyone that says that B'nei Shmuel, anyone that says, there's another people in that list that says the Chatu, Ein Ela Toyeh. The Afilus, if it's not true. Well, the pasuk there means it has to be understood from the context, but it does not mean that they really sinned. And the proof is that if they sinned, it could not be that he would rise to the stature of a Navi where we preserve his words. The afilu lamanda amar sham indeed shechatu. So look at this beautiful machazal kvar amuzal b'meder shoicha shoicher toiv sheosu teshuva. Look at the koyach of teshuva ulefize. Evshalai, Mashal Kain, Miyuchas Poi, Ben, the son of Pisuel, Al Shepitu, Lokel, Veniskabla, Teshuvosam, Bimadrega, Gedoila, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu accepted their prayers in such a degree, Asha Zochu Lunavu. Now, according to this interpretation, he's saying something very, very fascinating. He's saying the word Ben Pisuel is now referring to Shmuel. According to this interpretation, it refers to Yoel himself. Yoel was a Choite, and Yoel himself was mefate the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he should be forgiven and restored to a level of righteousness. Yoel is the mefate, not Shmuel. And Hashem accepted the pitui of Yoel to the degree they were elevated to be one of the 48 Nevi'im of Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's different than Rashi. Rashi just says Yoel, the son of Shmuel. How did they get here? Figure it out. They sinned. They didn't sin, they did tshuva. We're learning here that no, we're not dealing with Shmuel. They were in Echanami, we have a tradition, they were the children of Shmuel, but when it says here, Petuel, they themselves, the ones who prayed. Further, Inami Yor, Efshar, Shepesuel, Koyal, Shmuel, that's what Rashi and the Mitzudo said. Shagam, who is Spalal, here's a new idea, another idea, is that Shmuel's tefillah was for his children. Isn't that amazing? What are people misfalal for? If you could only read people's minds, what are people misfalal? It's not likely they'd be misfalal for the Dodgers and the Mets. It's not likely. It's not likely people take that so seriously. That's what they're thinking about. They're being misfalal for things that really touch their neshama. And most people, they're misfalal for their children. Okay, they're not selfish. They don't care about themselves. They're misfalal for their children. And who do we have to learn from? Shmuel. And it's very fascinating that Shmuel was misfal, that his children should do teshuvah. This is a very big thing today. Today, Rachman Litzlan, there are people who have children who are OTD, off the derech. And the whole big dilemma is unconditional love. Not unconditional love, v'chulu v'chulu. But there's one thing, less man de polik, to be mispalel for your children, no matter where they find themselves, no matter how far they've gone, and who do you have to learn from? Shmuel. This is what the Mincha Gedolah says. He didn't write them off. He wrote them off. They're not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, so they're not my children anymore. I sat Shiva for them, and as far as I'm concerned, they don't exist. No. That's not what Shmuel did. Shmuel was mispalel. They should be inspired to be chayzer b'shuva. Isn't that amazing?
You know the pasuk says that they went off the derech.
They went off the derech.
It's black and white. And with that,
lehochu b'drachav, and yet they lehochu b'drachav, and yet how many people they say that, you know, all these stories say people who bali tshuva. Who is to say? It could very well be that the reason why people in the middle of nowhere, it's remark, how in the world do they become bali tshuva? You're living in a world that is so distant from Yiddishkeit. What awakened you? How did it happen you became Bal Tshuva? It's very likely that the grandparents or the parents, when they saw their children years ago were off the derech, they were mispalel, they shed tears. And those tears took root. And here, 50, 100 years later, all of a sudden, the chayzeh b'shuva. You learn this from Shmuel. Shmuel, according to Menachem Gedolah, was mispalel, they should do tshuva. Yeah. Right, that's what he quotes over here. Chot, right, that's what he quotes. He almost quoted that, right. Elu v'elu. Whatever it means. That's always the complexity of a machshava. Al koy al shmul she shgamu vespal biad bonav kibla shem tilos ve khode lo dia lo kol shne shrat lo hama makam no kha ruach hashem al echer al echer mi bonav that the spirit of Hashem rests upon one of his children on the nispar same al yidei kach koy khat shuva. Look at this, what it is, this is just off the charts. This mincha gedoyle, they should put this in every Baal Tshuva organization. This should be part of the stationery. The pasuk was megale v'nisparis ma'idei kach koyach hateshuva kidei shemehem yilmedu gam achedim lasas teshuva. They are the poster child for the Baal Teshuva movement. If the Torah can say about them leholchu bidrachav, and one of them can now be Yoel, a sat b'chasra, and one of them can be a navi. Look how far the koyach of tshuva. Look, and also don't be miyayish. For achmona litzlan, there's a person out there who is not a shomer Torah u'mitzvos. You have to be mispal for them. There should be choyze b'shuva. This really bothers me. This idea about in Eretz Yisrael, there are many people who are not religious. And they're anti-religious, and there is really a debate among different groups of Klal Yisrael how far we should be concerned. Should you be concerned? Should you even exert yourself any effort? And I was shocked to hear from certain people, which I respect very, very much. I'm not telling you don't know. Is that like he says no? Basically, they're out. They've gone so far. There are other priorities. It shook me up. I respect this person very, very much, and I was very surprised. And I don't share his hergish. Even though there are people today, like talking about Eretz Yisrael, who are mamish kineged kol haTorah kula, and they're out. Let's talk about the extreme element. People that are mamish out lahachas to be oiker Torah Yisrael. What is your attitude towards that person? Is he v'lam al shinim alti sick for v'chol aminim kregel? You mamish, you wish for his obliteration? Or no, even him, you have hope he should one day be choizer b'shuva. So it appears that there is a difference, like everything else in this world is a difference of opinion. Everything is a difference of opinion. The Mincha Gedoyla is taking a very strong attitude, a very strong stand, is that you should not give up hope for anyone, no matter what. If Shmuel was mispalel, that his children should do teshuva, and the Pasuk makes mention by calling them Yoel ben Pisuel, and Pisuel goes on Shmuel, and it's referring specifically to Shmuel's tefillah, that his children should do teshuva, and to witness how his tefillah was accepted, and ad kedei kach, they became neviim in Klal Yisrael. That speaks volumes on this approach of what a person's attitude should be towards people who are not currently, or not yet, as we always say, with the program. So, kedei shebehem yildu gam acherim la'asos teshuva. Okay, that's the Mincha Gedoyla. Let's just quickly run to the Mincha Sanach. I always love, always, we never miss a chida, because the chida is always so delicious. On the side, the Mincha Sanach, Dvar Shema Shachil Yel Ben Besuil Yesh, Rebbe Seder Oimrim. Right on the left. 213. 213 on the left. Yesh Rabbeinu Oimrim Diyoel Zehu Ben Shmuel Hanavi Vegam Man Diyamar Dibrei Shmuel Chatu Asu Teshuva Shleima Ad Shezocha Yoel Lenevuah VeAhanyaleish Shepita Lekel B'Tfilasai Shmuel Hanavi Yolav Hashalem. Exactly what the Mincha Gedoyla says in the last interpretation, Shezocha Yoel Yosnavi. It's all the tefillah of Shmuel. Shmuel was mispalel for his children. They should do teshuva. Hashem accepted his prayer. Hashem influenced them to do teshuva. And look what we have over here today. We're learning the words of Yoel. Okay, so this concludes. Now let's see in my Mamar Chazal. Let's see Mamar Chazal. Let's see if we do all of that. Yeah, those are very short. It's not much. Let's see Mamar Chazal. Pasuk Aleph. Shimu on page 212. Shimu. No, he already goes. He goes already into the next pesukim. So let's go further. That's already. Let's leave that out. Okay, we don't need to do that. Let's go to the pasuk base. Shimu zois hazikene. Okay, now he begins. Now we begin the actual words of Yoel. Listen to this, the hazikenim, the elders, the hazinu and hearken. Listen carefully. Good morning. Kol yoshe'aretz, all those who dwell in the earth. He hoisa zois bimechem. Was there something like this in your lifetime? The Imbi Mei Avos Seichem. And was there something like this in the days of your forefathers? That he's coming to question, did you ever have such an event where there was? Now, what is he referring to? He's referring to the locust. He's referring to the famine, the 7 years of famine, which we just learned. The first 4 years of this famine was a makkah of arbe, of locusts, four different types of locusts. Did you ever hear of such a thing in your lifetime? Did you ever hear of such a thing in the lifetimes of your forefathers? Ask your parents. Sha'al avichav ya'gedchav zikenechav yermolach. In the history of the Eretz Yisrael, was there ever such a matzav of arbe? Pasuk Gimel, it's another pasuk. Aleha, aleha livneichem saperu. Tell it to your children. Aleha means upon them. Al. Upon your children, speak. Tell them what is happening. Uvneichem livneichem. And let your children tell it to their children. Uvnehem l'dor acher. And let your grandchildren tell it to the next generation. This is very, very fascinating. Wherever do you have such a pasuk where we're going instructions of the past and the future all merged together? Ask these two psukim together. Ask your grandparents, did you ever hear something like this? You never heard in the past, and now what you know, relate to your children, who will tell it to their children, and they will tell it to the next generation. What am I referring to? We're referring to the four different types of grasshoppers. Yeser ha-gozom. Gozom is grasshopper number one. Grasshopper is not the correct translation, but it means some type of locust, which consumes the crop. The gozom is number one, and it's going to consume the crop, but it's going to leave over. Whatever it leaves over will be consumed by number two. Ochal ho'arbeh. That's what appeared in the time of the Makos in Mitzrayim. The arbeh will leave whatever is left over from the gozom. The yeser ho'arbeh, whatever is left over from number two, the arbeh. Ochal hayolek, that's number three. The yeser hayolek, ochal hechosil, that is number four. Four different medium of locusts. Let's see the mitzvot stuff. All these three circle together. Pasuk base, shimuzos, mash ani shol mi mimchem. I'm coming. Listen to what I'm coming to make a request. I'm coming now to make a request. What's my request? Hehoisa, the hey hasheela. The hey is the hey hasheela. It's a question. What's the question? Ilu yish olum ha'im. Did this ever happen? Ha'im ha'isa zos. We should add a word into the pasuk. You can take out the first hey, he ha'isa, and substitute the first hey with the word ha'im. Ha'im ha'isa zos bi mechem. Did such an event ever happen in your lifetime? Okay, what are we referring to? Even though the pasuk is not telling us here what we're referring to, just read further. Don't stop here. Go further. We're referring to the four different types of locust. The inyan yeser hagozam v'chulu gimel oleha bavur hagzera hazos leroiv hatimahon shaba saper libneichem. Due to this gzera, this harsh decree, there is a lesson being taught today to Klal Yisrael. This lesson is relevant for all future generations. It must be preserved. And therefore, make sure your children know about it. And make sure you instruct your children to tell their children to the next generation. Every generation has what to learn from the terrible tragedy that's now occurring in Klal Yisrael, this intense famine that has come through the locust. What is the tragedy? Yeser hagozom v'zehu hagzera. This is the harsh decree. Shehinei masha hoisir hagozom v'loy ochal bo v'loy bo ochal kama bo harbe v'acholoy. Further, the next page, the next mitzudos. That's it. There's no more mitzudos. No more. Right. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, Base. Pehoisa zos. Huamur lamata. What are we referring to? What it says later. What it says in Pasik Dalid, the Gozam. Pasik Dalid. Yeser ha-gozam. Gozam. Arbe. Yelek v'chosil. Mine goivayhem. They are, goivay is, what do you call it? Grasshoppers? locusts, whatever this is, this creature which has wings and it flies, and they go in groups and they come in massive numbers and they consume the crop. They destroy the crop. They're going to come during this time period. With the time period, we're assuming it's during the time of Yehoram ben Achav, during a very difficult time when the Malchei Yisrael were steeped in idolatry. The kilu kol priho eitz the yerek hasodeh. So here he adds something which is very important, which is not true by the time of Mitzrayim. The fruits in the time of Mitzrayim, you know, I will charota. I was in Eretz Yisrael last year. I was in the bookstore Manny's. I was looking around, just looking around. Manny's bookstore. It's in Geula. It's a massive, it's like Eichler is on steroids. It's a massive book. What? It's in the center of Geula. It's in Geula, in Eretz Yisrael. It's right near, it's not far from Mir Yeshiva. There's a big, like a Judaica store type of store. It's like Eichler's. Just like, there's no difference than Eichler's and Manny. Manny has even more things than Eichler's. Not in Judaica, but in Sarm. And there I went to the section on Anach. And I was holding my hand a whole sefer, an entire sefer that was contrasting the difference from all the Mamori Chazal, the difference between the locust in the time of Mitzrayim versus the locust in the time of Yoel, a whole sefer. And I said, should I buy the sefer? Should I buy the sefer? Yoel is such a long time. By the time we get there, I'll already get it another time. So I didn't buy it. Now when I'm like, oh, if only I had it, it would be so interesting to see. Now that we're learning about now the locust, this is a big, obviously it's a very big sugya that has attracted the attention of some of the biggest minds, the contrast between these two, the locust in the time of Mitzrayim and the locust here. But one of the tidbits, one of the little ideas is right away this Rashi. Rashi says V'chilu b'kol prihoetz. I do not believe the fruit was affected in the time of Egypt. First, do they have trees in Egypt? How did they have? What do they have in Egypt? Do they have trees? They have, what do they have in Egypt? I don't know. They do have trees in Egypt. Whatever, but here the arba is not unique only to the produce. We always think about arba is. It says the pasuk. It says there the early crop, the late crop, yachitov, yakusemis, loynuku, kiafilois, the grain crops. Because they're late comers. When the pasuk mentions the arba, the focus, the thrust is only on the grain products would grow out of the ground. There is no mention of fruit. And I don't even know today when they talk about you hear in the news every so often that there are locusts in Egypt or in different parts of the Middle East.
I've seen it here.
And when they talk about locusts, even in America also, you don't hear, I have not paid attention, that they are attacking the fruit trees. You hear they're destroying the crops. They're destroying the crops. Here Rashi throws in that these locusts are destroying fruit. That's interesting. That's an interesting point. It's not commonly heard such words. That locusts prey upon fruit. We know they prey upon the grain crops. Rashi is not only fruit, the yerek, vegetables. What about a grain is not a vegetable? We don't call it a vegetable. No. Then we call it. So Rashi here, for whatever reason, Rashi is saying something that is very interesting, which we have to delve into a bit more. The prihu eitz v'yerek hasodeh.
You see how they cover the ground. I don't know.
Right, ground.
Maybe that's why it says the four different kinds. One kind for each one.
So maybe the arbe, but it says here it will be whatever the gozom leaves over, the arbe will eat. So what is the gozim? The gozim is only attacking. What is it attacking exactly?
The leftovers
of the fruit also.
Maybe it doesn't.
Does it point different? Arba doesn't attack the fruits. Does the other one? It wasn't usual. Lochein hoya arba kamohu. It was a different. It was a whole different ball game.
Okay, it's not just Rashi. We mentioned before. Rashi says that there was only one min. In Egypt, there was only Arbe. And Rashi says, "Oh, what about Yoel?" And the Yoel mentions the locust And he makes a whole big deal about it. It appears that it was even worse. No, that was four minim. Rashi, that was a different type. So you're adding a new dimension to saying maybe the arba there only in reference to grain product, grain. Here, the arba at the time of Yoel, besides that it was four, it had a different dimension in that it also preyed upon vegetables and fruits in addition to the grain products. The grain.
Maybe the other four, each one preyed upon
a different item. Could be. Maybe one preyed upon fruit, one vegetable, one grain. Maybe enochinami, absolutely. So we have to see further. Maybe this. I didn't come.
Fruits, vegetables, and you know. So you have
grain, fruit, vegetables, and what else? One more. We need one more. Maybe we'll see. I didn't get that far in my preparation, but it's something which we have to take. Now we're out of time. But before we conclude, let me just mention on Rabbi Michal. Rabbi Michal says, what do these four really refer to? They refer to the four Malchiyos. Let's take a look over here, the last before we stop, on page 212 in Rabbi Eliezer Mibolzhon Se. Did I say that correctly?
Almost.
How do you say correctly? Mibolzhon Se. Thank you. Mibolzhon Se. Yeser HaGozom. Arboha Mine Chogov Moinekan. Remez Li Arba Malchiyos. The Dalid Malchios, Bovel, Parasumada, Yavon, Edoim. Okay, you can have an elaboration upon this in Rabbi Chol Sefer. The Dalid Malchios. What is the name of the Sefer called? Barbanel also discussed it.
Okay.
Shekulum Bohu Bezeh Achar Zeh, Mashashir Zeh Kilo Zeh. Now, this is a very, very fascinating insight into understanding. This is an incredible insight. The nature of the Dalit Malchios. If you would not see this Rabbi Eliezer Mibolzhon Se, you can argue that each of the Dalit Malchios had its own agenda. It was not necessarily coming to attach itself to be a continuation. It wasn't a series, right? It wasn't a they were not connected. Each one was independent. Each one had their agenda. No, he's teaching us a Yesoy the Dalit Malchios. The Dalit Malchios is a sequence. They're all interlinked. Each one of the Dalit Malchios is picking up where the last one left off. That's an entirely new dimension in understanding what is the nature of the Dalit Malchios. It's not just them. Four different tzaras. In life, you know, in life, Rachman, people have difficulties in life. Everyone goes through different issues in life. So the issues you have at this point in your life have nothing to do with what you had when you were younger. When you were a teenager, you dealt with these issues. And when you get older, you deal with these issues. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud. They have no connection. Separate issues. That's not the nature of Golos. In Golos, it's one continuous flow. It's a chain. There is a connection. They're interrelated. You cannot separate one malchus from the other three. That's a fascinating insight because it says here, Yeser HaGozom, and this is unique to what we're learning here from this pasuk. You don't get that impression when it comes to other malchus. It's a new dimension. So here we write over here, Remez Arba Malchios, Shekul Bo Zerach Hazer, Mashir, Zekil Zer, V'chayz 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 what they ate, V'chayz Yoynam, Derech Mashul, K'derech Shehizchil B'mei Chogov, She'oichlim, we start with the Chogov, She'oichlim Pre-Horetz, the fruit, that's a general expression, which we have to see a little more. Okay, so we have to do a little more, we have to do more. In the year of Tzad Shem, tomorrow we will continue. Stop.